When you think about Germany, what usually comes to mind? Precision engineering, maybe those big industrial companies, a reputation for, well, for
Thinking,
efficiency.
right, top quality.
Exactly. So you probably assume their digital transformation efforts are just as advanced, clicking along
I
nicely.
might think so.
But today, we're actually digging into a really insightful piece by Rob Van Linde. It's called Why Germany's Digital Transformation is Stuck in the Kit. And it takes us somewhere quite surprising to find the answers.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Our mission today for you listening is to see how a seemingly quite specific area, we're talking early childhood education in Germany, actually gives us this powerful window onto a much bigger national puzzle.
Okay.
We're going to pull out the key ideas from your sources to understand why these, top-down digital strategies often just don't quite land effectively on the ground, why they struggle to scale. And it's really about more than just the tech itself. It gets into people, policy, and some pretty deeply held values.
That's a great way to frame it,
Yeah.
because we do tend to look at these national plans from like 30,000 feet, don't we?
We do.
But this article really flips the perspective. It's arguing that to get why Germany finds it hard to scale up its digital transformation, we need to look right down at the level of its youngest kids and, maybe more importantly, the people caring for them,
Yeah.
the nursery school teachers, the Erzieherinnen. They're dedicated, but often, well, pretty overwhelmed.
Yes.
So why is that specific viewpoint, the nursery school, so important when we're talking about huge national digital plans?
Well, what's really compelling is how this specific case study just illuminates this broader systemic disconnect. You see, the problem isn't really a lack of big ideas or political will at the highest levels.
Okay.
The German government, the states, they do have these ambitious strategies, things like the Digital Pact for schools. There's serious funding behind it for equipment, for infrastructure.
Right, I've heard of that.
But as the article points out so clearly, these policies cooked up at the top often don't fully grasp the messy reality, the day-to-day pressures faced by people on the front lines.
The people who actually have to use this stuff.
Exactly. And early childhood education is just a perfect example of where these grand plans hit real friction, often because the practical side, the human-centered bit of implementing it all, it just gets overlooked. It's like a miniature version of a much bigger national issue.
Gotcha. So it's less about the grand vision and more about the bumpy landing on the ground. Let's get into those ground realities then. The article talks about a major hurdle, the paperwork problem. Can you sort of paint us a picture? What's the daily grind like for a German nursery teacher, and why is this admin burden such a big deal?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first off, these Erzieherinnen, they're not just watching kids. They are highly trained educators.
Right.
Their job covers everything from, planning pedagogical activities, documenting each child's development, talking daily with parents, making sure they're meeting all the regulations. It's incredibly demanding, a huge range of really vital tasks.
And that's where the admin burden really bites, isn't it?
It does.
What the article seems to show is that a huge chunk of their day, which is already jam-packed, gets eaten up by these admin tasks. And often it's still done with, like, pen and paper, or maybe some clunky old software, or just a confusing mix of different tools that don't talk to each other.
It's exactly it, a patchwork.
Which leaves almost no time for the creative side of teaching or for that crucial professional development they need.
Very little.
So when someone comes along and says, hey, here's a new digital platform you need to learn and manage, or here's some tech you need to troubleshoot. Well, it must feel like an impossible ask, right? For professionals who are already stretched so thin.
It's described as an impossible burden. It becomes a major drain on their energy and their ability to do the core job they actually love.
Yeah, that makes total sense. It's not just losing minutes in the day, it's that feeling of being constantly snowed under.
Right. Imagine doing that complex job and then being handed new tools, but without the proper support to actually make the switch smoothly. It doesn't feel helpful. It feels like just one more thing piled on top.
And that feeling, that stress,
Yeah.
leads us right into the second challenge the article highlights, the training gap. It's one thing to give people the tools, it's quite another to make sure they know how to use them effectively, integrate them properly, and importantly, without adding this huge layer of stress. What does the article say about why teachers struggle with this?
Well, it really emphasizes that proper digital transformation isn't just about buying kit, hardware or software licenses.
Oh.
It needs a fundamental shift in how people think and work, and that requires a really significant ongoing investment in training. The reality is many teachers just don't have the time or sometimes the resources to build up the digital skills they need.
Even if they want to.
Even if they want to. And interestingly, there was a survey in 2023 showing that most Germans do want teachers to have better digital skills.
Okay.
But that public desire doesn't always translate into, you know, comprehensive, easy to access training programs that really give teachers the support they need when they need it.
So a mismatch between expectation and reality.
Exactly. And without that proper continuous support, new tech often just becomes a source of anxiety. The article calls it technostress, instead of being something that actually empowers them or makes their job easier. The intention might be good, but the practical backup just isn't quite there.
So this lack of support hits individual teachers hard. But does the article connect this to sort of bigger systemic reasons why these problems seem so widespread across Germany?
Oh, absolutely. And this is where Germany's whole federal structure really comes into play. It's a critical piece of the puzzle.
How so?
Well, the education system is decentralized. That means each of the 16 German states sets its own education policy.
Right, I remember that.
So what you end up with is this incredibly fragmented landscape. There's a real lack of nationwide standards, especially for digital tools and platforms in schools or KITAs.
Uh-huh.
The result is what the article terms a patchwork of different solutions scattered across the country. And that makes it unbelievably difficult to develop and roll out digital strategies that can actually scale effectively, that can be used everywhere.
Can you give us a sort of concrete example of what that fragmentation looks like in practice?
Sure. The article mentions one.
Yep.
Say there's a really innovative platform developed in Bavaria, like something called the KITA Hub. It might be brilliant, really effective within Bavaria.
Okay.
But because every state kind of does its own thing, that great solution doesn't just automatically get picked up and used in Berlin or Hamburg or anywhere else.
So everyone's reinventing the wheel.
Pretty much. Or using different wheels entirely. It leads to loads of duplicated effort, wasted resources, and it fundamentally blocks that kind of smooth nationwide scaling you absolutely need for a truly effective digital transformation. It's like trying to run 16 separate races instead of one coordinated marathon.
Wow. Yeah, that really paints a picture of the complexity. Trying to get national consistency with that kind of structure must be incredibly tough.
It is.
Okay, so beyond the admin headaches and the fragmented system, the article points to something even deeper, a kind of resistance that's rooted in the actual philosophy of early education itself. This is challenge number 4, pedagogy, not just tech. What's the heart of this cultural hesitation?
Yeah, this is really interesting. It taps into what the article calls a deep-seated and valid concern in Germany about what role technology should actually play in early childhood development.
It's not just about efficiency, then.
Not at all. In fact, many scientists and educators are pushing for a pause, a moratorium, on more digitalization in kindergartens. They cite worries about potential negative impacts on how very young children learn, how their language develops.
Okay, so real pedagogical concerns.
Absolutely. The debate isn't just about whether tech makes things easier. It's fundamentally about pedagogy. There's this strong, culturally embedded belief that the foundation for little kids should be rich human interaction, hands-on play, developing social skills.
Not screen time.
Not primarily screen time. And this hesitation, it's also connected to broader German concerns, historical ones even, about data privacy, about the influence of big tech companies.
Right.
So it means any digital tools introduced in this area have to be considered very, very carefully. They need deliberate integration, not just a rollout because it seems modern. The main thing is ensuring tech genuinely supports a child's development rather than taking away from that core human-centered approach.
So it's a much more thoughtful, maybe cautious approach than just digitize everything. It's rooted in educational principles and wider societal values.
Precisely. Not just resistance for resistance's sake.
Okay, so how clearly does the article then link these specific challenges we've talked about, the overwhelmed teachers, the fragmented systems, this philosophical debate, how does it connect those back to Germany's bigger picture digital goals? Are these nursery school issues really telling a larger story?
Oh, the article makes that connection very explicitly. If you sort of zoom out, connect the dots to the wider context, these challenges playing out in early education, they aren't unique to KITAs at all.
Mm-hmm.
They really serve as this potent microcosm for much broader problems in Germany's whole digital transformation effort.
Such as?
Well, things like top-down policies that don't quite mesh with the reality on the ground. The huge administrative burden slowing things down, the gaps in training and support, the systemic fragmentation caused by federalism, and that cultural caution about adopting tech without a clear purpose or benefit.
So these themes repeat across different sectors.
Yes, they echo across the board. These are reflections of wider systemic hurdles that Germany faces in trying to implement nationwide digital strategies effectively. And the narrative really hammers home the need for a truly user-centered approach at every level, recognizing that the people actually using the tech, whether they're teachers, civil servants, factory workers, they are absolutely key to whether it succeeds or fails.
That's a powerful argument that these local struggles really do reveal so much about the national strategy or lack thereof. So if just, you know, throwing money at it isn't the answer, which it seems it isn't.
No.
What does Rob Van Linde suggest is the path forward for Germany? What does that user-centered collaborative approach actually look like in practice, according to the article?
Right. The article does lay out a pretty clear way forward, focusing on four main things to create that more user-centered collaborative vibe that really puts teachers and their needs first.
Okay. What are they?
First, it says you absolutely have to reduce that administrative burden. Develop digital tools that are intuitive, genuinely integrated, and actually simplify teachers' tasks, not add new complications.
Makes sense. Fewer clicks, less stress.
Second, a major investment in proper ongoing training. Training that doesn't just tick a box, but really builds teachers' confidence and skills with new technologies so they feel supported, not stressed out by them.
Right, continuous support, not just a one-off workshop.
Third, the aim should be to create standardized solutions that can actually work across different states. Tools that are interoperable, that can scale, overcoming that fragmentation we talked about.
Breaking down the state silos.
Exactly. And finally, maybe the most crucial bit, fostering a real culture of trust. That means proactively addressing those privacy concerns, being transparent, and really focusing the conversation on how technology can genuinely enhance the human-centered education that's so valued, not try to replace it.
Enhance, not replace. That's key.
These aren't just quick tech fixes, though. They require pretty fundamental shifts in how policy gets made and rolled out.
Absolutely. That sounds like a comprehensive plan, but also, like, it requires some pretty significant changes in policy, in culture, in infrastructure. It feels like until those foundational issues are really tackled head on and thoughtfully, Germany's digital future might, as the article suggests, stay a bit stuck. Advancing maybe, but one slow step at a time, often starting right there in those nursery schools that need the support the most.
That sums it up well. The success of Germany's digital journey, well beyond just education, seems to really hinge in tackling these core human-centered issues.
What an incredibly illuminating discussion. We kicked off thinking about Germany's big digital plans and ended up deep in the world of its nursery schools, uncovering these really intricate human, systemic, and cultural challenges. Mm. It's just such a powerful reminder, isn't it? The digital transformation, ultimately, it's way more than just the technology. It's fundamentally about people, the systems they work within, and the culture they share.
And perhaps it leaves us with a question to chew on, you know. How often do big strategies, whether we're talking nations or companies, kind of overlook that crucial human element, that frontline user experience?
That's a great point.
What lessons can we maybe take from Germany's experience here in early education that could help us do digital transformation better in other areas? Mm-hmm. Or even just, you know, in our own lives when some new bit of tech gets introduced?
Absolutely. Definitely food for thought. Well, thank you for joining us on this really fascinating exploration of the sources today. Keep pondering how these seemingly small-scale insights might actually shed light on much larger, more complex challenges in our society and with technology.